chapter 30. Let's start with verse 1. And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and the Ziklites had smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Now skip down to verse 6. For sake of time, we're going to skip around, but go home and read the whole thing. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Skip down to verse 16. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from twilight even unto the evening of the next day. And there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives, and there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil, nor any that they had taken to them. David recovered all. David recovered all. I want to talk to you just a little bit about today, about what to do with defeat and discouragement. But let's have our call to prayer first. If you'd like to come down around the altar and pray for our nation, we need a great awakening. Instead of criticizing the White House, you'll be praying for it. Come on, let's pray if you want to. Come on, men especially, come on. Come on, you're the man of the house. You're supposed to be leading and praying. Come on. You say, well, preacher, I ain't never done anything like that before. Well, you need to. Come on.
All right. All right. Good to see all these folks around the altar. Amen. Amen. What a blessing. Amen. 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 You can be seated. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Ron. Thank y'all for that. Amen.
You know, if every church in this county would start doing that, we'd have a revival. He said, call upon me, I will answer thee and show thee great mighty things which thou knowest not. I think we've let programs get in the place of prayer. 1 Samuel chapter 30, if you want to look at it again. I looked up the word defeat. By definition, it means overthrown or conquered. Overthrown or conquered. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 7, the Bible says, what doth hinder thee? In Acts, I think it's chapter 8, the Ethiopian eunuch said he believed on Christ. And he says, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Defeat will hinder you. Discouragement will hinder you. I know misunderstanding, false teaching, all those things. But to be overthrown is to be conquered. And I believe a lot of time people get overthrown, they get conquered, and they don't know what to do about it. They've never experienced that before. And then others live in a constant state of defeat, a constant state of being conquered. They've been, we used to say down in Lancaster, South Carolina, they've been beat down. They still say that in the Panhandle, they've been beat down. You wouldn't know none of that, people. A lot of Baptists have been beat down. A lot of churches have been beat down. They've been conquered. They've been overthrown by an enemy, whatever that enemy might be. If you live long, and I hope you do, if you live long, you're going to suffer defeats. You are. You're going to be conquered sometimes. I know as a child, you don't think on those lines. The Lord gives you blinders. You don't see a lot of things when you're little until you get older and you look back on it. But as an adult or even a teenager, you'll recognize it when it comes. And it'll destroy you if you'll let it. And a lot of people have let it destroy them. Whatever the problem might have been, whatever it was that conquered them, discouraged them, They've settled into that as their life. They've settled into defeat. Eventually, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, some way, you're going to be conquered. Eventually, you will. And today I want to show you some Bible examples of those that were conquered and what they did about it. Now, we live in the greatest country on God's green earth with all its faults and with all the things going on in our country. We're still the greatest country, and we still have the greatest opportunities, and we still have the greatest churches. We do. We still have the greatest people. But there's been many times in our country where our country has been in a state of defeat or being conquered. Politically, physically, emotionally, everything else. But our churches should never get that way. And the only way our church cannot get that way is for the people that say they are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ not to allow themselves to be defeated, or if they are defeated, know how to come out of it. We have a very, very high rate of drug and alcohol addictions today, the day that we live in. People die every minute of every day from drugs and alcohol. And by the way, alcohol is a drug too. And it's the only legal one that I know of. But people dying from that. The reason so many are in that condition is because they saw no hope anywhere else. And it numbed them. It'll numb you. But they're defeated. Now, there's a lot of examples in the Bible. The Bible examples are here to warn us and encourage us. So if you don't read the whole Bible, you're not going to get both sides of it. If you just read the first of the story with David and his men, you'd have got discouraged. But read it to the end and you'll see victory comes out of defeat. Now, what determines how you live this life, especially the Christian life, and how do you respond to that? What determines that? What determines how we react, how you react to defeat or to being conquered or discouraged? What determines that? Now, I'm not a psychologist. I'm not trying to practice psychology. I'm kind of crazy myself. Who said that? You said that? Must have been one of these ex-Methodists said that. You know, like they taught you in school, everybody's crazy but me and you, and I ain't too sure about you. You remember that? The difference between me and you is I admit it. But if I am crazy, leave me alone. I'm doing real good. Like I mean, this is crazy. I'm doing real good. But there's two kinds of defeat or tragedy, okay? Number one, there's a physical defeat or tragedy. Now, that's a great loss in our life in this world. That's physical. A great loss in our life in this world. Y'all young people, listen to me because you're going to need this. Especially teenagers. You done lost your mind anyway. You're going to run into a lot of stuff. Listen. It could be a job or financially conquered, or destructive, or discouraged. And boy, if you've been working long, paying bills long, you've probably already been there. Amen? It could be a loss of a friend or a loved one to death. It could be a betrayal by a friend or a loved one. It could be somebody moved away. They just moved away and left you. Those are physical things in this world that will defeat you if you let them do it. Some people go through all kind of physical health problems. And they just give into it. And then others, they won't give into it. You know. But a lot of people get defeated because of their health. And they just sit down. Well, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen if you just sit down with your health. You're going to die. You know, we ain't supposed to listen to that music anymore, but I remember it. It said, I'd rather burn out than rust out. Ain't that what that heathen said? I'd rather burn out than rust out. If I die, I'm going to die running. I ain't going to die in the lazy boy. Hello. Amen. Y'all got lazy boys, don't you? Or cheap facsimile thereof from Walmart.
Seriously. I've known people just get sick and just quit. Did you know they've announced Hazel's husband going to die? I've been up there about four times. They called the family and he ain't going to live from the night, through the night. I know it's the grace of God he did. Amen. But I think it's got a lot to do. That's one of the hard-headedest men I've met in my life. He refused to die. He would. I'm serious. You go in there and see him. They say he died. You go in. He said, they said, I'm going to die, preacher. But I ain't worried about it. I ain't going to die. But those things are physical in this world. They can put you down.
Yes.
Some people are emotionally destroyed because of things that happen in their life. Young people, listen to me. It's not always roses. And you'll get your heart broken. I'm telling you, you're going to get your heart broken. And people's going to hurt you. And a lot of people get defeated that way and they just quit. You might as well go out there and dig a hole and cover yourself back up. A lot of people like that. Physically, we get hurt. Physically, we don't want to go on. And we get defeated. And then the other way is spiritually. Turn to Numbers 14. Numbers chapter 14. Turn over there real quick. I'm going to go ahead and read it while you're turning, but mark it in your Bible. The children of Israel had escaped Egypt. God had taken care of them. God had drowned Pharaoh and his army. Unlike the Ten Commandments movie, Pharaoh wasn't standing up on the bank. He was in the water too. God had drowned their enemy. God had supplied, gave them manna, angel food to eat. Gave them water out of a rock. Took care of them. Shadowed them with a cloud by day and gave them light, fire by night. Over 3 million of them. Their leader, he couldn't talk plain. Moses, he couldn't talk plain. That was his excuse not to do it. He said, Lord, I stutter. He said, well, I'll send Abram with you. He doesn't stutter. He can talk for you. Go read it. Abram never said a word. He never got to say a word. You, y'all guys say, preacher, I'm going to go with you visiting. You won't get to talk. You might learn a lot. But here they are. They've gotten to Kadesh Barnea, a small mountain range, and they've got on the edge of the promised land, and God said, now I promised it to you, go on in there. And of course they doubted God. They said, no, we're going to have to get up a Baptist committee. We need 12 men of good report. So they sent in 12 spies. Those spies came back like every Baptist committee, and 10 of them said, it is impossible. The giants over there. And two of them, Joshua and Caleb, said, don't matter. God will lead us. We'll take care of it. And they believed the 10 and doubted the 2. And now they're at Kadesh Barnea. And look what God tells me in verse 22. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. That whole generation died without getting in the promised land. Passed it many times. They just went around in a big old circle. Passed it. Never got to go in. But the good ones got to go. Now, these spiritual battles, you can have a great loss. Now, a spiritual battle is something outside the normal. It's something outside of your body. You really don't have a lot of control over it, so you got to know what to do with it. But these people made a spiritual decision looking at the physical, and it destroyed them. Now God took care of them those 40 years, but they did not get to go into the promised land. And that was a spiritual problem. It was not a physical. They went by what they saw physical, but in their heart, spiritual, they doubted and denied what God said. Just like Adam and Eve in the garden, the serpent said, yay. Did God say? Or did God really say that? And they doubted what God said. And because of a physical thing, they lost a spiritual battle by listening to the devil and not God's word. We can suffer great loss in our spiritual lives. Now listen to me. Listen, everybody listen. Young people listen. If you're not saved today, you're already defeated spiritually. You're dead in trespasses and sin. You can't go to heaven that way. You're not going to be a happy person because you're going to live after your flesh all your life. Your flesh is always going to lie to you, and you're going to end up in a mess. And in the end, you're going to wish you'd have lived as a Christian and got saved and received Christ. But if you're not saved today, this part's not going to make a lot of sense to you. Now, the death and the desertion and the financial loss and all those things, that makes a lot of sense to you. That's things you can see and feel and touch. But the spiritual loss is greater than the physical loss because it's an eternal loss. So you're not going to die. Your old body's going to die unless something happens, you know, between now and the Lord comes. But that the real you live right in here. This is a shell. This is not me. You're just seeing the outside, a shell that I carry around. This is what God lets me ride around in. A 66 Chevelle. Not a 2020. Praise God. Listen, I want you to, here's some examples. What about old Pilate? What about old Pilate? Now, God warns us in the physical. He gave us Cain as a warning. He gave us Lot as a warning. He gave Esau as a warning. He gave Korah the rebel as a warning. He gave King Saul as a warning. Sometimes he gave David as a warning. He gave Judas as a warning. He even gave Pilate as a warning. And Paul warned us about people like Demas hath forsaken me, other Christians that was... Those are physical warnings. And you ought to have those. You ought to have those. Mom and Dad, you ought to teach you children who to look out for and who not to look out for. I always tell fathers of young girls, you know, make her bring him home. Hello. Well, I'm getting her. Linda would say her. Yeah. Make him bring her home. Make her bring him home. And if it's a boy, lay your pistol right there on your knife. Don't win. Every once in a while, just look. Just where y'all going? How long are you going to be gone? And if it's a girl, call my wife. She'll straighten her out. But those are physical warnings. You ought to warn your children about things. When I was growing up, everybody smoked. There was a cloud of cigarette smoke in everybody's house. Y'all remember that? About that high, about that thick. It just floated. Everybody's wall, you could put your finger on and make a streak in the nicotine on the wall. All windows were yellow. All car windows were cloudy because everybody... And they tell us, they say, now don't you smoke. Now it's, don't you vape. I told one little boy I saw him vaping, I said, you know what? If I was going to be a heathen, I'd break down and buy me a pack of L&M's. I wouldn't suck on that stupid thing with water in it. I said, if you're going to die, go ahead and do it. Right. I'm not telling you to do that, okay. But they'd say, don't drink. Yeah. Or they'd say, you ain't old enough yet. Yeah. Well, how old do you have to be to commit slow suicide? They'd say, you got to be 18 before you start smoking. And most of us started at 12. You remember that? Well, you got to be 21 before you can drink. And most of you started as teenagers. So what we need to do, we don't just need to tell them, we need to give them an example. Show them some bad examples. Yes. So you remember that guy we passed down there laying under that bridge, passed out. You want to look like that? You know. How about that funeral we went to the other day, that nice lady that smoked cigarettes all her life and cut her life 20 years in half, 20 years off of her life. We got to give them examples, physical examples, and then the Bible does. And then don't leave it there. Go to the Spirit. Now, in the spiritual realm, I thought about some people. There's all kind of people. In the spiritual realm, because of what they did physically, there were some people that suffered defeat, both spiritually and physically. Look at Ezekiel chapter 24, verse 18. Ezekiel 24, 18. Now, in Ezekiel 24:18, it may not be a good example, but I thought about it the other day. The children of Israel was in terrible, the whole nation was in terrible shape. They were worshiping idols. They were living in sexual sins. They were drunkards. They were liars. Everything else, all kind of physical things were going on. And because of that, God used a prophet who was a good prophet, but he let this prophet's wife die so that the prophet could give them an example of what they were supposed to do. And look at verse 18. And I spake unto the people in the morning, and at even my wife died, and I did in the morning as I was commanded the next day. He said, my wife died, but I went ahead and did what I was supposed to do. I didn't let this defeat destroy my work that I had to do for God, that I had promised, that I'd been called to do. And so this man suffered physically because of what other people were doing. That's a good example. Spiritually, you'll suffer defeat because of physical things. I thought about Noah. Noah was in the will of God. Noah was in the will of God. Would you say Noah was in the will of God? The Bible says he was. And God found faith in Noah. But did you know Noah lost everything he had? We think, well, his wife and children, they were saved with him on the ark. Yeah, but he lost everything. He lost family. He lost friends. I'm sure he lost some property. I'm sure he lost his position in society. He lost everything because what other people were doing sinfully. God destroyed everybody on planet Earth, and that included everybody he knew too, except for those eight. Now, let me tell you something. A man doesn't live to himself. He doesn't die to himself. What we do affects other people. And they can be defeated for what we do. I ain't hurt nobody but me. Yeah. Let's talk to your wife about that. Let's talk to your children about that. Amen? Now, so these are just some names. I thought about Joseph. Joseph was in the center of God's will. And because of what his brothers did, he ended up in a pit in jail. And spent years and years in jail. And he stayed so long, they forgot he was in jail. And then a woman falsely accuses him because he wouldn't do what she wanted. So therefore she claimed it was the other way around. And he stayed in jail because of what she did. But he stayed in God's perfect will. Noah didn't let it defeat him. And Joseph didn't let it defeat him. I thought about the apostles. You got these name it and claim it preachers, and some of y'all like them because they're pretty. But if you peel away the paste off of them, they're raving and wolves is what they are. And they're telling you everybody's supposed to be fat and happy and rich. And all the time, they never mention the apostles. There was not an apostle that died rich. They were penniless. That's right. He even told them, said, when you go places to preach, don't even take a bag with you. I'll take care of you. I'll feed you. I'll find you a place to stay. And they all were persecuted to death. Yeah. Well, preacher, I lost my best friend because I go to church. Let them go. You're better off without them. Because, see, physically, things can happen that cause us to be defeated spiritually. I thought about David in our passage. Go back and look at 1 Samuel chapter 30. Look at verse 1 and 2. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. David suffered this point. He suffered discouragement. He suffered tragedy. This is not the only time. This is just a good example. And David had been out doing what he was supposed to be doing. He was running from King Saul, who was jealous of him because God had already anointed David to be king, but David wouldn't take it because he wouldn't kill Saul. He wouldn't touch him. So he'd run from Saul all the way down to the Philistines and told the king of the Philistines, he said, I got an army of 600 men and we're pretty good fighters. And they'd heard of him because he'd fought them. And he said, but I'm running from Saul. I need a place to stay. And that king said, you can stay here. I'll take care of you. And so him and his army fought for the Philistines, other enemies, any but Israel. And they always won because God blessed David. And then the war comes between Israel and the Philistines, and the Philistine generals say, look, we can't have David in this battle. He'll turn on us and kill us all. And the king said, well, I'm going to give you Ziklag. You can have that town down there. Take your people down there. So they took the women and children and left them, and they went out on a hunting party or whatever it was, and they were bringing supplies back. When they got home, everybody was gone, and their houses were burned up. And nothing was left. How'd you feel you went home after church day, your house was burnt down, you had nothing left, and everybody you knew was gone? Don't you think you'd get discouraged? Don't you think you'd get despondent? Don't you think you'd just say, what's the use? We've all been through some tragedy. I mean, unless you're a little kid or something like that, most of us have been through a tragedy. We've all suffered loss. You're looking at the start over king, man. I've started over so many times. I got a reset button somewhere. Something happened. I just hit that thing. Start over. Start with nothing. Start over. I mean, we've all been lied on. We've all been hurt. We've all been let down. We've all hurt ourselves and others. All of us. Come on, help me. Are y'all still Baptists? Listen, we've all done that. We have been defeated. Every one of us. Now, it all depends on how you respond. Look here, you need to quit raising your kids to be losers. They fall off that bicycle. They start crying, go out and say, okay, all right, brush it off. Get back on that bicycle. Oh, shut up. Spit on it. Put some dirt on it. It'll be all right. Get on that bicycle and go. That's mean, preacher. That's how we learn. If you run out there every time a kid gets in trouble or they have a little fuss, and by the way, you ought to stay out of your kids' fusses unless they're fist fighting. They get a little old fuss, you know, and you run out there and you try to intervene and who's fair and who's not fair. Why don't you shut up? They'll be playing with each other again in 5 minutes unless you get in it. Especially boys. My goodness. Me and you be in a fight and 15 minutes later we'd be talking again. I ain't saying nothing bad about y'all women. I hear you thinking it. I don't have to say it. I hear you. Women don't forget anything. Well, you know, 15 years ago, we had this thing at church. I don't even know what happened yesterday. Well, you know, the way she treated me down there at that ladies' meeting that day. You need to quit raising your kids like that. You need to look at them and say, okay, you failed. Start over. All right, you fell down. Get up. All right, you cried. You done cried enough. Stop it. Let's start over. But now they carry a little sign saying, unfair. And I want to slap them in Jesus' name. And then say, let me tell you how to be saved. But the point is, we all fail. The only way you're not going to fail is don't do anything. Amen. Stay at home. Lock yourself up. Don't see anybody. Don't have any relationships. Don't get married. Don't get married. Did I say don't get married? Don't get your boyfriend or girlfriend. You're going to fail. And it's going to break your heart. You're going to lose things you love, and it's going to break your heart. And you're going to lose some loved ones to death. You're going to do it, and it's going to break your heart. And people's going to turn against you, and it's going to break your heart. So the secret is knowing what to do when that happens. I come from a family, they just were pretty apathetic. Well, whatever happens. And I think that's the way most people are. Well, whatever happens. Well, if you live that way, you're going to get hurt over and over and over and over and over and over in the same way, over and over and over and over. Now, here's what you can do. You can give up. You can quit. You can live a sad, defeated life. From now. And some choose that. Y'all listen to me, young people? Some choose that. Look up at me, teenagers. I'm talking to you. You ain't got there yet, but it's coming. Is it my right, adults? You can just give up, throw in the towel, say, what's the use? I'll go over there and get me some white powder. I'll get me a little joint. I'll get me a pill. I'll get me a bottle. I'll just do something. I'll numb myself, and I won't ever try anymore, and I won't ever have to try friends again. I'll never be married again. I'll never teach Sunday school. I'll never preach. I'll never do anything. I'm never going to get me another job. I'll just live under a bridge somewhere. You can do that. Somehow. Or you can do it like we ought to as believers in the Word of God. Now look at me. This is, I don't know where you come from, and I love you wherever you come from, but I got news for you. God has an inspired, inerrant, infallible Word. This is the same Word. This is the original in the English language, and it'll never change. This is the same thing that was preached to your great-grandma, your great-grandpa, your great-great-great-grandpa, your great-great-grandma. It never changes. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words, plural, shall not pass away. Now, we can look at that to get our inspiration. We can learn our information from that. Or you can go somewhere else and get it and fail again. But I'll guarantee you, if you get your examples out of this book and just try to follow those examples, you'll fail again, but you won't stay down. You know, Peter, I guess Peter would be the greatest evangelistic type preacher we could talk about in the New Testament. We think of him as fearless, stood up in front of thousands, got beaten, got put in jail, in the end got killed for preaching the Word of God. And yet there was a day where he denied the Lord. When you would think would be the time that he was needed the most, he denied Jesus the most. That day, in front of unbelievers, at that old fire barrel, standing around that thing, warming himself by the devil's fire, and the lost people, in order not to be made fun of or persecuted or maybe even killed, they said, you're one of them. He said, no, not me. They said, your speech betrayeth thee. He must have been from South Carolina. He said, thy speech betrayeth thee. And he said, I don't know him. And he cursed the name of Jesus. Now, that's defeat spiritually. 100% wrong and defeated. Now, brother, if he'd stayed that way, he wouldn't have lived long. But instead, he ran out, he wept, he cried unto God, he asked God to forgive him for that, and God raised that man up and made him the greatest evangelistic preacher that ever walked planet Earth. Judas was just the opposite. Young lady, did you know that Judas kissed the door to heaven and went to hell? Jesus said, I'm the door to heaven. And Judas betrayed him with a kiss that night in that garden. Those soldiers walked up and Judas said, the one that I kiss is him. And in the dark, they didn't know who was who. So he walked straight up to Jesus and he called him master and he kissed him on the cheek. And Jesus said, Judas, betrayest thou me with a kiss? He took the 30 pieces of silver that he sold him out for. And by the way, what are you selling him out for? And he took the 30 pieces of silver and he ran and he tried to give it back to the priest that gave him. They said, we don't want your dirty money, you hypocrite. And then he threw it down and he ran out. And the Bible says he hung himself because he couldn't repent. He couldn't find space to repent. He called out and said, God, I'm sorry. But he couldn't. God wouldn't have it. Died defeated. Anytime you hear the name of Jesus, you always think of somebody that was a betrayer, defeated. I thought about old Ezekiel there where we read, you know what? His wife died. God bless somebody, their spouse dies. His wife, I don't know what I'd do without my wife. I don't know if I could get up the next day and come down here and preach. I don't know if I could. If God gives you grace, you can. I didn't think I could preach my mama's funeral, but I did. He gave me grace to do that. But I don't. My wife is part of me. We're one flesh. And that man's written down in biblical history as the man that got up and preached the word the day after his wife died. He could have quit. He could have said, God let me down. He took my wife. Well, she was better off, not because of leaving him, but because she was in heaven, you know. And he got up the next day. And thank God for people that lose their spouse and they keep going on anyway. Deborah, I hesitate a minute to say this, but Deborah's son passed away. How many years ago now? 21 years ago. 17 years old, right? Sitting in church. She got saved. A lot of people lose a loved one, especially a child, they quit. I had a relative, she had a son who was a drug addict and he overdosed. And she quit living. She just quit living. Then later on she had a son who was handicapped. He passed away. And she just, it doubled it. Of course, she didn't know the Lord. She had no comfort. But I think of people like this, and I say, God bless them. They keep on going. Yes. They don't let it defeat them. By the way, a death for a believer is victory. It's not defeat. We'll share in their victory. One day we'll sing it with them. I thought about there in Numbers chapter 14, verse 21. God said, but my servant Caleb had another spirit in him. All those people were against going on into the promised land except Caleb and Joshua. And God looked at Caleb, who, by the way, took Moses' place and led them into the promised land. He saw the same things they saw. He experienced the same. He saw the giants. There were giants in the land. He saw the armies. There were armies. He saw the obstacles. There were obstacles. But he said, we can do it by the grace of God. And then he had to suffer and wander around with them for 40 years in the wilderness because they wouldn't believe. But when all of them died off, God said, okay, Caleb, take it. And did you know for 40 years he never gave up? Somebody hurt your feelings a year ago and you ain't never got over it. Caleb endured hardship for 40 years because of other people, but he never gave up. I got to quit. Turn back to 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 18-19. I'll quit. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 18-19. Well, just read, start 16. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. He's talking about the people that took his loved ones. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening the next day. They fought all night till the next afternoon. And there escaped not a man of them, those that took his people, his stuff, save 400 young men which rode upon camels and fled. Look at verse 18. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives, and there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor any that they had taken to them. David recovered it all. Now, what made David different? And I'll quit. Y'all listening? What made David different than everybody else? They all sat around, wept, and cried. They wanted to kill him because it happened like it was his fault. And they sat around, wept, and I would. You would. We would have wept. We'd have felt bad about it. We'd have got hurt, you know, cried and all those things. But here's something David did different. Verse 6 in chapter 30. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. How would you feel if somebody took your daughter for a slave, your son for a slave? But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. You know, there's going to come a time as a believer, you listen to me? There's going to come a time as a believer that you ain't got nowhere else to turn.
Amen.
Well, I believe and I'll turn to the Lord. Yeah, but there's going to come a time where you're going to have to encourage yourself in the Lord. That's why it's important to know the Bible. That's why it's important to go to church. That's why, are you listening? That's why it's important every day to pray. Every day.
Yes.
Because if you don't, you're not going to know how to encourage yourself.
That's right.
Amen.
Well, I went through tragedies and wept and cried. I'd get up the next morning and I'd walk out my driveway and I'd go to the paper box and I'd say, thank God I can still walk. Thank God I still see. Thank God I'm still in my right mind. Thank God I can breathe. I can hear. Thank God I'm still saved. Thank God you're still with me. Thank you, Jesus. And every day, I do that day after day after day after day until one day I'm walking out there and I'm not crying anymore and I'm not weeping and I'm not brokenhearted anymore. And I learned something. I had to encourage myself in the Lord. I'd go to church and the preacher would preach about something I didn't need. I'd go to Sunday school and the Sunday school teacher would teach something that had nothing to do with what I was going through. And I had to get by my, and I'd get out in the woods and I'd say, where is the God of Elijah? Where is the God of Abraham and Isaac? God, don't you see me down here? I need some help, Lord. What are you going to do when tragedy comes? What are you going to do when destruction or failure comes? Whether it's by others or yourself. Judas, defeat. King Saul, defeat. Caleb, victory. Ezekiel, victory. David wept and hurt and cried, but he strengthened himself in the Lord.
and he got it all back and some more.
You say, "Preacher, I feel dead spiritually." You can get it all back and some more. You know, all these things work together for the good of them that love God. And they'll make us better if we don't let them make us bitter. We can be happy. We can enjoy life. We can love life and love others. We don't have to be defeated, and we ought to refuse to be defeated. I'm a child of God. God adopted me into His family. I'm going to live long as God lives. I'm going to heaven when the old flesh dies and I get to come back with a new body. Why would I be that discouraged? Why would I quit now? This week's my spiritual birthday, March 5th, 1978. I'm 41 years old. I ain't half dead yet. Amen. I got to start over. I'm 41, not 60. If you're not saved, you're already defeated. You can't encourage yourself because you got nothing to look forward to. But if you are saved, you can encourage yourself in the Lord. And don't separate yourself from everybody and everything that would encourage you. But don't expect everybody to do it for you. But refuse to give up. Refuse to give in. Refuse to be defeated. Because see, if the devil defeats you, he's going to defeat other people that he's trying to work with through you. You know, we've been studying 1 Corinthians on Wednesday night. It says, the husbands are and the children are sanctified by the Lord of the wife. Because of her faith, God sets them apart that He'll work with them even more and in even more different ways because of her faith. If you quit, who's going to do it? If you're not saved, we're going to give you an opportunity in just a minute to come forward and receive Christ. And 1 John 5:4b says, "This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." You get the faith. By the way, the faith's already in there. We just need to put the Word of God and the water of God and the Spirit of God to make it grow into saving faith. Amen. You just come forward. We'll read you a few verses. We'll pray with you. And you can get saved. If you're already saved, the Lord spoke to you today. Now you can sit right there where you are and keep the way you are. You can do that. That's your choice. You don't have to come down here and do anything. But there's just something about coming to an old-fashioned altar and praying. And then others will pray for you. They won't beat you on the back or anything like that. But if you need somebody to pray with you, we got people to pray with you. But if you want to be left alone, just come down here. We'll leave you alone. Those times I was going through such terrible agony, I'd go to church and lay down on the altar. Just lay down there and weep and cry out loud. Come on, let's stand. Father, thank you for...